The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this beautiful day that he has given us. The order of service is before you. We will follow that today. A couple of notes to highlight. Following services today, our congregational meeting, we'll have our usual opening at 10:30 next door, and then congregational meeting going over the building program and a couple of those things. So please take note of that. Join us for that. Women's Retreat, October 19. We are working with Holy Cross Rockland to present a retreat. There's information on the table out there. Please take a look at that. Sign up. Even if you don't want to pay the $25 registration fee now, just as long as we have numbers, please take a look at that. I will be on vacation for a week beginning Friday through next Wednesday. So Pastor Meyer is going to come up and lead the service next Sunday, which is St. Michael and All Angels Sunday. So we'll celebrate that. So he will be here for that and also for Wednesday morning. In our prayers today, Bob Short, who's been moved to Spring Hill Manor over there. So we will pray for him. Also for Brent Brevoort, Barry and Jan's nephew, who is hospitalized as well. We will remember them in our prayers today. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account for your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. On the surface, what Jesus says today is pretty hard to understand. It seems that he commends the dishonest manager for his unrighteousness. And what exactly does Jesus mean when he says, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth? Well, it isn't uncommon for a wealthy person to have a financial manager. The manager is a steward, the one who's entrusted with, the one who manages that what belongs to someone else. He works for the owner. But this steward wasn't managing his master's property and possessions very well, and word got back to the boss. So he calls him in, and like that reality star turned president, he says, "You're fired." Now, for some incomprehensible reason, the master doesn't have him turn in his books on the spot, which gives him an opening to cook up a plan. He thinks he can work it so that he'll have a place to go when he loses his job and loses his home. So he goes to his master's debtors and he slashes their debts. So whether he's sacrificing his own commission, or the debtors thought the master was being generous, or if they were in on it, we just don't know. The bottom line is that by reducing their debts, the manager makes friends for the future. These people would then feel like they owe him one. And when he's out there looking for a new job, looking for a new home, they'll be more likely to help him out. Well, somehow the master got word that the steward had changed the debts owed in order to look out for his own future. And somewhat surprisingly, the master's reaction is that he commended him for his shrewdness. Note that he didn't praise the dishonest manager for his dishonesty or for his crookedness. He's commended for his shrewdness, his clever thinking in a time of crisis, that he could come up with a sensible way to solve his problem. Now, this is in the context of unrighteousness, shrewdness in the ways of this world, using whatever means that one can to get away with. Again, Jesus isn't commending the dishonesty. Jesus isn't commending the unrighteousness. He is talking about wisdom in a time of crisis, though, taking advantage of the moment and making provision for the future, for one's eternal future. So Jesus would have you look beyond this life to the life of the world to come, to arrange your affairs in this life with your eternal future in view. Jesus explains, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Use the worldly wealth that is at your disposal. Use it now, in this life, with an eye towards eternity. Use your money, use your possessions now in a way that is pleasing to God and for the good of other people. Realize that one day your life in this world will end and your wealth will come to an end too. But then you will be welcomed into your eternal dwellings in the new creation. So make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth. Unrighteous wealth is money, it's possessions, it's riches with a negative connotation. You know, think of the evil 1%. And as we all know, money is commonly used in ways that is not pleasing to God. So it's called unrighteous wealth. But you are the ones made righteous by the righteousness of Christ. You are able to use this unrighteous wealth for righteous purposes. As faithful and wise and shrewd stewards, you can use your wealth, such as it is, for God's purposes and for the good of others. You can use your wealth to help your neighbors in need. How? Just in this congregation alone, there's IFM, we've got our local shelters, pregnancy centers, Capital Campaign, Hangout. These are some of those friends who will welcome you into the new creation, and you can help them now. And you can also use your wealth, such as it is, to support the church's work of preaching the gospel. This is your neighbor's greatest need. The good news of the forgiveness of sins won for you by Christ. Everyone in the world needs that precious gospel because that gospel tells you that not only is your debt reduced from 100 to 80 or 100 to 50, no, it's taken away. It's paid in full. Your Lord Jesus paid the price that you could never pay. The Son of God gave His life to buy you back, to set you free. His death on His cross paid the debt you owed, the whole debt of all of your sins. Mark it zero. That's the gospel that you've been given to share. And that's how you make friends for eternity. And your unrighteous wealth can be used to help spread the message, to preach it, to teach it. And as faithful stewards, you'd want to support that gospel ministry. And so you can do it right here, in and through this congregation. So rather than seeing your place as God's stewards reduced to asking questions like, well, where are we going to get the money? Or, how do we get more people in here to help us make the budget? Or how can we spend less so we can preserve what we have? Rather than asking those wrong questions, remember that the dishonest steward had nothing that hadn't already been given to him first by the Master, by our Lord and God. So also, you have nothing that truly belongs to you that hasn't been given to you by God our Father to manage for the sake of your neighbor. For your family, your friends, fellow church members, this community, and our world. So the work of the church, the spreading of the gospel, is a faithful and a wise use of wealth. That's using unrighteous wealth for a righteous purpose, for God's purpose, for God our Father, He who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So there's no greater use for your wealth in this world than to give it to the support of the work of the gospel. Now, you may not have been as faithful a steward as you could have been. And maybe you haven't given as generously as you could to support the work of the church. God forgives you. God our Father forgives and saves and receives you into his heavenly dwellings purely and simply out of his incredible love for you, out of the tremendous outpouring of his grace in Christ. And so he heaps his gifts around you in a huge pile, like baby's first Christmas. You have an eternal dwelling waiting for you because your Lord has gone to prepare a place for you. And it's all a gift. Christ Jesus has earned it for you with his blood. And so the Holy Spirit is working through that same gospel to strengthen the faith that you have in Christ. And that same Spirit will make you the faithful stewards you're meant to be. Because our Lord and our God is at work in you to make you his faithful stewards. He owns it all, everything. And out of his superabundant grace, he gives you all good things in this life to enjoy. He entrusts them to you that you may manage them for his good purpose. So to be a steward is a high calling. Your true riches are being held in trust for you before the Lord's throne. And there's no price tag you can put on them. The forgiveness of your sins, everlasting life, eternal salvation, all the wealth of the world can't buy those priceless, precious gifts. But now, in this life, you can use the riches of this world for a heavenly purpose. Faithful stewards use their wealth for God's purposes and for the good, the eternal good, of those around them. And the God of all grace and mercy will make you into those faithful stewards who make friends for all of eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.